Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Haggai if you would like to follow along. Haggai chapter 2. We come this morning to the final passage in our study of Haggai. Haggai delivered four messages over the course of 3 months to the remnant in Jerusalem to spur them on to obedience, particularly in beginning again to rebuild the temple. And this last message, which will be our focus this morning, you'll notice is actually just directed to Zerubbabel alone. So the last message is given to Zerubbabel, but by extension, the whole people of God, and then for us as well this morning. There is an outline in the bulletin if you would like to use that to follow along. Let's give our attention once again to God's Word. The Word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of kingdoms, of the kingdoms of the nations, and overthrow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and their riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word, and that's where the prophecy of Haggai ends as well. Let's pray and ask for his help together. Father in heaven, we do ask that you would enable us now to hear your word. Lord, open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your word. Lord, as we've just been reminded in Psalm 145, you satisfy those who fear you. And so, Lord, satisfy us with your truth and with your King, your Son, Jesus. Enable us to turn our eyes to you with faith as we hear your word. Lord, strengthen us, encourage us, comfort us, convict us. Give us faith as we hear your word now, this morning. We do pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. How often do you consider the final day? How often do you consider the end of all history? How often do you think about the day of the Lord? How much does the reality of that coming day impact your day to day? Scripture teaches us that we are moving towards one final day. History is moving towards one final day. A day that we must be ready for. A day that we need to live in light of. A day that we need to have fixed in our minds. And in his last recorded message, Haggai spoke to Zerubbabel, the governor, about that day. He wanted him to know that it was coming. It was real. History had a direction and a destination. He and the remnant had a part in that. And the coming day would be a day both of defeat and victory. Defeat for the enemies of God, but victory and joy for the people of God. God was calling Zerubbabel and by extension his people in the day of small things, a day of difficulty and weakness, to look forward to the coming day of the Lord, a day of victory and strength. He was calling them to press on in their day in light of that coming day. It wasn't easy to see that day. It wouldn't be easy to fix it in their minds and have hope and press on, but that was his call. And so we see here this morning that the book of Haggai ends with the end. The last message is about the last day. Calling Zerubbabel, calling the remnant to keep the end in mind, to press on in their day with that final day in view. And friends, that is what God calls you to as well this morning. I've said it many times in this short series. We are not rebuilding a physical temple, but we are building the spiritual temple, the church. We are seeking to build our lives on Jesus Christ, and we experience difficulty and discouragement. We live our days still awaiting that final day. And so we too need to know that this day is coming. We need to know it's a day of defeat, but also a day of victory. And we need to be ready for that day and live in light of it now. Press on with hope and direction and purpose in light of that day. That's really the call of this last message to you from Haggai. People of God, live your days in light of the final day. That day is coming, and so live in light of that reality. Press on. Be patient. Live by faith. King Jesus will come again in victory. And so fix your eyes on him and on that coming day. Well, let's consider our passage together in more depth. We see here that Haggai spoke God's word one last time on actually the same day his third message was delivered. And he zeroes in on one person and one theme. The coming day God was about to bring. And there are two aspects of that day that I want to highlight for us together this morning. And the first is this. It would be a day of destruction and defeat. This day would be a day both of destruction and defeat for the enemies of God. Look again with me at verse 21 and following. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and their riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. I've mentioned this already, but I want you to notice again, first of all, that Haggai is speaking this last message to Zerubbabel alone. And he tells them that God will soon shake the kingdoms. You've heard that language of shaking already. He will soon shake and overthrow kingdoms. Now I want you to put yourself in Zerubbabel's shoes. You're the governor of a mere 50,000 people, a remnant. Returned from exile, only at the decree of the foreign king. You have no army. You have no wall. You have very little money or power. You're weak. You're hardly a kingdom. The temple was being rebuilt, but not the palace, not the throne, not the Davidic king or dynasty. Zerubbabel was all that was left of that, and he wasn't even a king. He was a puppet governor. The kingdom was a shell of what it once was. But God is speaking to him directly, saying a day is coming when all the other kingdoms, the kingdoms of the nations, will be defeated. Now, Zerubbabel would have known God's promise in 2 Samuel 7. Where God promised a permanent throne and a permanent kingdom to David. But what had come of that promise? Hadn't that kingdom and that throne been wiped out? Well, Haggai is speaking here of the restoration of God's kingdom and the defeat of all others. But how could this be? They were just a remnant. The line of Davidic kings had been broken. Well, Haggai is speaking prophetically of the coming spiritual kingdom of God. He's looking forward to the messianic King Jesus and his coming and his judgment. He's not speaking of a literal day of a great earthly kingdom, but of the great day of the Lord. And that's a common theme in the prophets. When Messiah, when King Jesus would destroy and defeat all the rebellious kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Satan. And so while he speaks of chariots and riders and a shaking earth, he doesn't have in view an earthly battle, but really a cosmic, spiritual battle. And he uses this vivid imagery to depict that. And kids, if you're taking notes or drawing, you might draw something of this battle, the chariots and horses being toppled and going down. This vivid imagery is used to capture this idea of this spiritual battle, this decisive, sweeping judgment of God on God's enemies that was coming. And these images of toppling thrones and chariots are meant to arouse fear and wonder and faith at the almighty power of God, the intervention and judgment of God. He wants the lowly governor of Judah to see that one day the king would come and conquer. One day soon, he says twice here, I am about to. This day, this defeat is soon. It's imminent. King Jesus will soon come to fully and finally put all his enemies under his feet. None will be left standing. All will go down. It says here, everyone by the sword of his brother. Everyone by the sword of his brother. It's a day of such panic and confusion that they'll even turn on each other in the chaos of battle. We need to also understand here that Haggai has in view not one literal day, but a period, an era, a time frame. There will be one last day of judgment at the end of history, but this day he speaks of is the day of King Jesus, the day that began at Christ's first coming. The defeat began with the ministry and preaching of Christ and culminated at the cross and the resurrection, and it's continued through the spread of the gospel by the sword of the Spirit. And when he returns at the end of history, this promise and this prophecy will be brought to its completion. Now, this was a promise of coming defeat and destruction. But think about it. Defeat for God's enemies means victory for God's kingdom, victory for God's people. Kids, do you remember how God delivered Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt, by defeating Egypt? And after the 10 plagues, he saved them by bringing them through the Red Sea and swallowing up the Egyptian army that was pursuing them. He defeated them, and in doing so, he brought victory to his people. That was a picture, a foretaste of the ultimate day of the Lord, the destruction and defeat of God's enemies, and victory and deliverance for his people. And on that day, Israel rejoiced with the song of Moses, saying, God has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Well, Haggai picks up on that imagery in the same language here. God would yet again make the enemy's horse and rider go down, delivering his people. And perhaps Zerubbabel, as he was taking this in and listening to Haggai, perhaps he could hardly imagine such a day. But as leader of this small, weak people, this was the vision, this was the hope and the future that he could expect and put his faith in, put his hope in. Yes, they had in the past been conquered. They had been humbled. They had been exiled. They were still small and few. But God's ultimate plan was to build not just this little temple again, but a sweeping spiritual temple to the ends of the earth, a kingdom that would never be destroyed, that would in fact destroy all the other kingdoms of this world. And this was the message Zerubbabel needed to hear as the leader of that small band of people, so that he might lead them to press on in faith and with courage. And friends, this day that Haggai speaks of, a day of destruction and defeat for God's enemies, is something each one of you needs to know of too, and believe in, and to live in light of. And it's both an encouragement and a warning. The coming of this day is an encouragement if you are like Zerubbabel, if you are part of the people of God, if you're a believer trusting in Jesus. It's an encouragement to know that God will bring full and final justice. He will carry out all his purposes. He will save all of his people. He will destroy all evil. The kingdoms of darkness will not be victorious. They will crumble before the one true king. But this day is also a warning. Because if you are on the wrong side, if you oppose God and his kingdom, if you're trusting in the world's wisdom and might, in the world's horses and chariots, this day is coming soon and you will be overthrown. You will be destroyed. You'll remember the words of Haggai someday and think, why was I so foolish? Why did I not listen? Why did I not ready myself for this day by bowing to Jesus and trusting in him? These images of going down and defeat and destruction will become true of you. But by then it will be too late to bow to King Jesus and come into his kingdom of grace. Jesus said, I am coming soon. And even if he doesn't return in your lifetime, you will not live forever. You will meet him soon. This may, I don't expect it, but this may be the last sermon you ever hear. You will soon meet the king. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready for the end of all history? Each one of you needs to know this day is coming. Each one of you needs to be ready for this and live in light of it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it off. Don't overlook or deny it. Live today and tomorrow and the next day, all of your days, in light of this one day. Turn away from faith in man and trust in the Son of Man, King Jesus. Bow to him. Are you doing that? Is that how you're living your days right now? Are you ready? It is a day of destruction and defeat for the enemies of God. But we also see here that it is a day of victory as well. Haggai wanted to not just warn Zerubbabel, but encourage him and encourage God's people. And so he describes this day, second, as a day of the victorious king. A day of the victorious king. Look again with me at verse 23. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. This would be a day of the victorious king. And God says through Haggai, to Zerubbabel, I will take you and make you like a signet ring. And I'm going to just get straight to the point here and say this is a prophecy of the ultimate Messiah. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is not telling Zerubbabel that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the ultimate signet ring, but he's speaking to Zerubbabel in his particular role. He's speaking to him as the heir of David's throne, as a type of the coming ultimate king. Zerubbabel was just a signpost along the way, just a link in the line of David that would eventually lead to the son of David, the ultimate king, King Jesus. No earthly king, let alone governor, would usher in this coming day, this day of defeat and ultimate victory. If you look at the earthly kings again and again, they failed and the throne did collapse for a time. And they were poor pictures of the final king. They left God's people always looking beyond to a righteous, lasting, permanent, all-powerful king. And the image used for king here is that of a signet ring. Signet ring, that image that Haggai uses recalls how God had rejected their last king before exile. God said through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 22, that he would tear him off even though he was his signet ring. But now he's promising that the failed, broken, and discarded line of Davidic kings would be restored. Not by Zerubbabel, ultimately. Not by another new or greater Solomon, but by the ultimate son, God's own son, the ultimate king, the ancestor of Zerubbabel, of whom Zerubbabel was just a sign and a link. Jesus was in the line of David. He was in the line of Shealtiel and Zerubbabel through his father Joseph. And you can read about that in Matthew's genealogy. He was the signet ring. He is the signet ring that Haggai is speaking of here. And there are three particular details in our text that really point us beyond Zerubbabel to Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of this, as the ultimate king and signet ring. And the first is that he's chosen. Verse 23 says, I have chosen you. Think about that. Before time, Jesus was chosen to be the Messiah, the King, the Savior. It was not David. It was not Solomon. It wasn't any of the earthly kings. It wasn't Zerubbabel. No mere man, the Son of Man. Jesus was chosen and sent by God. Might I have chosen you. The second detail here is that he speaks of him as God's servant. In verse 23, God says, I'll take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant. And my servant is a favorite and common prophetic title for Jesus, especially in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 42, verse 1, speaking of Jesus, combines both of these, both servant and chosen. It says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. And those, so these details point us to Jesus. And here's where we start to see this king would be unlike any king of this world. He would be a mighty warrior, yes. A conquering king, yes. But unlike the kings of this world, he would come in humility. He would come as a servant. Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus says, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This coming all-powerful conquering king was a servant. And so Philippians 2 speaks about him as taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and humbling self and becoming obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus washed his disciples' feet like a servant. He bore our griefs and our suffering, our sins. He died for us as the suffering servant. The world wants impressive earthly kings, earthly saviors, earthly power and glory. But the true Savior and the true King, who will be the one King standing on this last day, was and is a servant. A third detail here that we see that points us to Christ is that Haggai says he would be God's signet ring. Now think about that. A signet ring served an important purpose in the ancient world. It had the king's royal seal engraved on it so that when it was impressed in hot wax, it would leave the royal insignia on it that marked something as authentic and authoritative, coming from the king. It was a key sign of authority and power. the one who had that ring acted on behalf of and with the full authority of the king. And kids, you remember when Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt, what did he give him? He gave him his signet ring. Well, neither Zerubbabel or David or any earthly king was ever given this full power. None of them were ever God's ultimate signet ring, but Jesus was and is. The divine Son of God has such power and authority. He spoke and acted with authority. He silenced the wind and the waves. He called the dead to life. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He forgave sins. He even conquered death. He is God's signet ring. And so Haggai spoke to Governor Zerubbabel of a signet ring, a coming king who would have the full authority and power of the Lord of hosts. And that is King Jesus. And Jesus said before he took his throne in heaven after his death and resurrection, he said basically, I am the signet ring of God. In the Great Commission, he said, I have all authority. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the idea here. This is the one eternal, all-powerful king, the rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 that we heard about in the call to worship, who's coming soon, one final day to deliver and to destroy. And his victory is certain. He's already come once to save sinners from sin and death and from Satan. He has conquered death, and he is coming again soon to finish his work. And Zerubbabel was privileged to be given a glimpse of him from afar, from far off. He was called to look to the signet ring that he was just a small token of, a small picture of. Zerubbabel knew that he wasn't the ultimate victorious king. He wasn't the ultimate signet ring. But he was an early picture and a signpost. And he was to lead the people now in expectation of that coming king. Have hope in the role that God had given him, the task that was before them. Their small part of history leading to this final day of the king. And we don't read about it in Haggai, but he did lead them eventually to complete the temple. There would be more opposition and difficulty, but the temple was finished a little over 3 years later. You can read in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah, and they finished their building by the decree of God. But Haggai doesn't even mention that. The book of Haggai ends, but it leaves us hanging as to what happened with the temple. It's as though his thoughts were on something bigger and better, someone bigger and better. He knew that temple was not ultimate. And so do you see why Haggai's last word was about the last day? Why he spoke to Zerubbabel about the coming king? Why he ends with the ultimate end? Zerubbabel needed to have this in view. God's plan. Where they were ultimately going. He needed to know that God was at work in history. And that victory was certain. God would raise up the final signet ring, the real signet ring, King Jesus. And that's where his hope, that's where his eyes had to be fixed. He had to look beyond himself, beyond the day of small things, and put his hope in God's promise. The temple was important. It had to be completed. It was necessary, but it wasn't ultimate. It too was pointing ahead to something and someone greater. And this last message that is directed to Zerubbabel gives you and I an opportunity to ask ourselves, what are we looking to for hope? What gives us courage today? Who is our king? What kingdom are we living in and living for? Are you living your days now for his coming day of judgment and victory? Or are you living for that which will not last and will not help you or deliver you on that final day? This is all easier said than done. And just hearing these words from Haggai would not have instantly solved all of Zerubbabel's earthly problems and challenges. The temple would not have just become very easy all of a sudden. And you might wonder, like Zerubbabel, how could God say this would all be done soon? It doesn't seem like it to me. Or these vivid images of defeat and victory and sweeping glory, they're inspiring, but the real world often seems much different. They can seem out of touch with reality as we experience it. Our thoughts and our days are often long and hard, filled with the mundane, with seemingly insignificant things, with difficulties. Things like bills and appointments, sleepless nights, conflict, homework, suffering, temptation, sickness, sin, doubts, work, pain, food. You could go on and on. How can we, how do we live in light of the glorious and certain victory of King Jesus, this one final day? Well, the book of Haggai calls us to consider these things. It calls us to consider, how do we, as the people of God in our day, handle the difficulties and the discouragements of life? How do we keep God's priorities? How do we press on with courage and faith? How do we lay hold of his promises and serve him for his glory? How do we seek to keep building his living temple, this side of glory? How do we live our days now for him and not for ourselves? And Haggai gives many answers, but I think one of the key answers that Haggai gives as we reflect on the book as a whole is that we can't do this. You and I can't live our days in light of the coming king on our own. We can't live with faith and obedience and perseverance on our own, without him. But God does not call us to do that. He promises his presence. We can do this with him, and that is precisely what he tells his people here. We can do these things with his presence and his power and his promises. And God proclaimed all three of those to his people, the remnant through Haggai. And he gives all of them to you and to me as well. He said, remember, I will be with you. God gives you his very presence. His spirit is in you and with you. And because of that, he can and he does give you his power. We can be strong and press on, not because of our strength, but because of his strength, his power, like the remnant, because of his blessing, because of his enabling us to press on. And he also gave them these promises, the promise of a coming Messiah, a signet ring, a more glorious temple, a final day of justice and victory. And friends, God gives you, gives us all of these promises as well. Some of them have already been fulfilled. Some of them are still being fulfilled, and there are many that are yet to come. Christ's return, his final victory and triumph, the completed temple, the wiping away of every tear. These were the keys for what God called them to. And these are keys for us and what he calls us to as well. But do you believe? Is your faith in him? Do you believe that he is with you? That he is your strength? That he will bring about completely and fully everything that he has promised? People of God, keep your eyes on these truths, on Him, on His purpose, on His King that He has raised up. History does have a purpose and a destination, and you, like the remnant, like Zerubbabel, have a small but key part in it. It's not easy. It's not easy to live your days in light of all of this. The days are long. Sometimes they're too short. When you look around, you see weakness and need, what's often unimpressive with earthly eyes. You don't see His signet ring. You don't see the King, the glory. The work is hard and slow, and it seems to never end. But friends, God has given you His Word. He has given you His Spirit. He has said the end is coming. It is in sight. He's called you to work for His glory. He's given you His very presence, His power, His promises. He has sent His Son to die for you and rise again. And so, people of God, the call of Haggai, the call of God to each and every one of you today is to press on in faith. Fix your eyes on the King. Hear and trust His Word. Live your days for that final day, a day of victory, a day of King Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that we are so quick to forget Your truths. We so easily take our eyes off of Your promises, off of Your power. We forget Your presence with us. Lord, we ask that You would root these words into our hearts, that we would not hear and quickly turn away and forget Your Word, but that Your words to Your people, Your words to us through Haggai would linger and would drive us on and would strengthen our faith and make us rejoice and trust all the more in King Jesus. Lord, we ask that Your Word would bear fruit in us. We ask that You would help us to fix our eyes on that coming day. Fix our eyes on the ruling King who will come again and will be victorious. Let us put our faith in Him and press on for Your glory. Lord, please do this, we ask, with faith. And in Jesus' name, amen.